Growing businesses and finance professionals, you need Bill Spend and Expense, the free-to-use spend management software. It's powered by the Bill Divvy Corporate Card, which helps growing companies scale with credit lines of $500 to $15 million, automated expense reports, and as many virtual cards as you need. For a limited time, get $500 when you get started with Bill Spend and Expense. Request a demo at bill.com/get500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank, member FDIC.
Welcome back to Cargo Cult, friends. I'm Naomi.
And I'm Michelle.
It's a big AI app.
Well, there's no more need to speculate about how these quote-unquote AI systems could possibly one day potentially help the ruling class exterminate its opposition. We actually know that it's happening. Israel has been using an AI system called Lavender to compile kill lists, and these kill lists are then acted on with hardly any human verification.
Supposedly 20 seconds to determine whether or not the target is a woman or a man, because women can't be militants, but they can be collateral damage. They are good candidates for that.
Yeah, so this is a story that comes to us from an Israeli publication called 972 Magazine. 972 is the like telephone area code in Israel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this reporter, Yuval Abraham, broke the story for 972. It was published earlier this month.
Oh, did you see on Twitter, like, there's such annoying people being like, Yuval Abraham is a Zionist asshole. And it's like, read this article. Don't look at what else Yuval has said.
Well, I mean, you can look at it, but evaluate it for yourself. This is the problem with the media landscape these days, is that everyone wants to have heroes and like idols, and like they try to make reporters into these celebrities and like care about their personalities and stuff like that. Take the story for the story. This is information that we're getting thanks to him. You don't have to also be his best friend or respect him as a man.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
No one's asking you to be a fan of his. Whatever, it's reporting.
Yeah, it's Twitter, whatever.
I probably wouldn't like him as a guy. He probably is a Zionist. I mean, obviously he's a Zionist. He's an Israeli. What do you think he's going to say? Israel shouldn't exist. Anyway, moving forward. This is probably one of the most important pieces of reporting on Gaza that's come out so far. And it's definitely one that makes you sick to your stomach.
Yeah, it's a really interesting moment. Even the, you know, the diehard libs who are like, Israel has a right to defend itself. Even the, like, the New York Times is like, the tide is turning on the war. People are starting to wonder, like, how is Israel targeting its bombs? Like, how is this happening?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that this report confirms and, you know, cites sources within Israeli intelligence to confirm what you already know if you've been following any of the numbers, the footage, or reporting coming out of Gaza. It's been blatantly obvious that the occupation is killing indiscriminately. What we know now, because of this report, is that they were basically shirking authority and responsibility to this so-called AI program to kill indiscriminately. I don't think anyone thought that these strikes were targeted, right? You would have to be living under a rock to think that. But now we understand the technology that it was kind of hanging its hat on to do so. So let's talk about Lavender. Lavender basically, also just a stupid name, but also yeah, kind of apt because
it's kind of cleansing the technology that's used to murder.
It relaxes you, puts you to sleep. It's like out of sight, out of mind. Like, I didn't have to choose to kill that family. Lavender did it. Lavender takes the stress of genocide off of your shoulders.
Yeah.
Allows, I think, more people in the IDF to be like kind of asleep at the wheel.
Yeah, I'm like, is it a new mattress company?
So Lavender processes the military intelligence that previously would have been processed by humans, right? And makes these kill lists, these lists of targets for the IDF. This piece by Yuval basically unveils the fact that Lavender exists for the first time. So here's a quote from that article. According to six Israeli intelligence officers who've all served in the army during the current war on the Gaza Strip and had firsthand involvement with the use of AI to generate targets for assassination, Lavender has played a central role in the unprecedented bombing of Palestinians. Its influence on the military's operations was such that they essentially treated the outputs of the AI machine as if it were a human decision. So according to this piece, basically the occupation was almost completely relying on Lavender during those weeks after October 7th.
And part of the reason why is, according to this article, Israel wasn't tracking low-level militants. So after October 7th, they're like, well, now we need to target these guys. When previously they've been just trying to cut the head off Hamas, now they're like, well, we're going to get every single one of them who participated or who are somehow connected to the organizations. I remember, like, after October 7th, they're like, yeah, there's like, I don't know, 30,000 Hamas members. And it's like, how are you getting that number? And now we know that it was just like a generative AI program that was connecting people.
Also, not to mention the fact that Palestinians have the right to resist colonial occupation and genocide. But this is the Israeli rationale, right? If you're Hamas linked in some way, mm-hmm. then we can kill you, you know?
If you went to a Hamas pizza party.
Well, they don't have any food.
Yeah, well, not now.
Yeah. So, okay. So how does Lavender work? They train Lavender with, like, all of the existing data they had about these, you know, Hamas operatives, right? And based on that, they would determine a set of characteristics that could define what a Hamas operative is, right?
Like, are they Palestinian? Are they male?
So Lavender would scan the data regarding every Gazan in the IDF database, and then using all of these characteristics, generate a score from 1 to 100. The higher the number, the more likely the individual is to be a member of Hamas, according to the set of characteristics that this quote-unquote AI produced.
I bet the Israelis just based it on this, the Kinsey scale. Like, 100 means you're Hamas, and 0 means you're gay.
Because Israel always says Hamas would kill you if you were gay.
Exactly.
Not to be confused with the McKinsey scale, which is 100, you're a Hamas militant leader. The other side, you're Pete Buttigieg. So let's be very clear about the larger ethical picture, right? Lavender isn't what makes this fucked up, right? This is just a way to do what they were already going to do. Israel, and I'm not putting words in their mouth, you can hear Israelis and Israeli officials say this kind of thing. Israel doesn't want anyone, no matter their gender or age, no matter how Hamas-linked they are, to survive. Israel's defense minister, Yoav Gallant, ordered a, quote, complete siege of the Gaza Strip with, quote, no electricity, no food, no fuel, everything is closed, end quote. That's obviously not just trying to target, quote, unquote, Hamas militants, right? He literally said, quote, we are fighting human animals, right, about the Palestinians. I mean, Netanyahu, there's like a million quotes you could point to about him, but he at one point called Palestinians children of darkness and said that they abide by the law of the jungle in a fucking tweet. He said that means that it had to be typed out, looked at, and said, this looks good. Like, it wasn't just like spilled out of his mouth by accident. Like, someone decided that was a good idea.
Yeah. And then Thomas Friedman took that and ran with it and did that whole op-ed where he was like, imagine the Middle East is a jungle. Arabs are like flies.
Yeah, disgusting. And this is the kind of dehumanizing language that the New York Times feels okay to post, you know, as an opinion piece. But anyway, it's not just the dehumanizing language, right? Even if they weren't saying any of this stuff, we can see the fucking actions of mass starvation, high casualty bombing, destroying healthcare infrastructure, right? So with or without Lavender, this is shitty, right? And maybe the author of this article, what's his name? Yuval Abraham, maybe he doesn't agree that the larger Israeli occupation is shitty, but this is important to talk about because this is kind of what's new. It's an intensification of warfare because humans are like barely involved in the decision making. According to one source that's in this 972 article, humans were like a rubber stamp for Lavender's decisions and, quote, they would personally devote about 20 seconds to each target before authorizing a bombing. And so the human person that's actually doing the authorizing kind of can rest their hat or hang their hat on this credibility that Lavender brings. you know, obviously this is not to excuse the human person, right? But it is a matter of fact that when you're alienated from the cause of your action, you don't investigate it as much, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be cold-hearted because the machine is fully cold-hearted and the machine did it for you. And that makes it easier for you. You can like be half asleep and these people will still be killed by you, but you don't actually have to like put together a file on a target and do true investigation. Like, oh, what are their links or whatever? Like the machine did it. Like, and so AI provides this false sense of legitimacy, right? This is a new technical element that I think needs a lot of investigation and understanding. Not because this AI role will make a difference to the ethical picture, right? Like we said, what the IDF is doing is evil regardless. But we need to know thy enemy, right? Like we've said in previous episodes. And Lavender does give the IDF the appearance of this independent machine that can make decision on its own. It's offloading the moral responsibility onto this fucking machine. You have this machine, you know, calculate if, you know, killing this person is okay and if the collateral damage, quote unquote, is okay, basically to maintain this aesthetic of the rule of law. Because if you just, you know, threw bombs around, which is in effect what they're doing, but if you did that without, you know, creating a file on each strike and like, you know, here's why we marked this person for assassination and here's the links that we know they had, right? It would be so gross, right? So you have to like fake this like intelligence process to say, here's why we marked this person for assassination and here's why that bomb was okay. This is the big risk of this AI-based warfare, right? The humans get to escape accountability and put it on the AI, but the speed with which these decisions are being made are that of an AI and not that of a human intelligence officer actually having to make a cogent case to their supervisor about why this person needs to die.
It scans information on probably 90% of the population of Gaza. So we're talking about, you know, more than 1 million people. And it gives each individual a rating between 1 to 100. A rating that is an expression of the likelihood that the machine thinks, based on a list of small features, that that individual is a member of the Hamas or Islamic Jihad military wings.
Yeah, and you have to imagine, like, how precise is the AI? I don't know. Think about the ads that you're seeing. Think about ad targeting. So, like, when you hang out with, I don't know, when I spend a lot of time with my boyfriend, I'll start getting ads for DraftKings and sports betting and ESPN. And it's like, this is definitely not precise. So they're just using the same kind of technology and, you know, they're using the Temu algorithm to kill people now.
If you want to ask how accurate this thing is, again, putting aside the fact that Palestinians have the right to resist colonial occupation and genocide, but if you want to, you know, see things through the IDF lens, which is that, like, if they are Hamas-linked, then we can kill them. And if they're not Hamas-linked, we can't kill them, right? Even within that perspective, this thing doesn't make sense because according to the 972 sources, the military knew approximately 10% of the people that would end up on the Lavender kill list were not militants because Lavender would give everybody a rating, like we said, and that rating would basically indicate the likelihood that the individual is a member of Hamas. And even within that rating, they knew that 10% were errors. So it's just crazy, the reliance on that kind of automated kill list.
Sources told me that the military knew, because they checked, they took a random sampling and checked one by one, the military knew that approximately 10% of the people that the machine was marking to be killed were not Hamas militants. They were not. Some of them had a loose connection to Hamas. Others had completely no connection to Hamas.
There's this other automated system, evilly named Where's Daddy, that would track the suspects to their home so that they could be killed along with their entire family. So basically the data from Lavender would feed into Where's Daddy.
A second AI system known as Where's Daddy tracked Palestinian men on the kill list. It was purposely designed to help Israel target individuals when they were at home at night with their families. One intelligence officer told the publications, quote, "We were not interested in killing operatives only when they were in a military building or engaged in military activity. On the contrary, the IDF bombed them in homes without hesitation as a first option."
In 2021 and other bombings of Gaza, they would mostly focus on places where military operations were held. and where meetings of Hamas members would take place. But now they're saying we can get confirmed ID of this person if they're at home. But really, this is a just circular justification for genocide, for killing an entire family.
Lavender lists are fed into Where Is Daddy? And these systems track the suspects and wait for the moments that they enter houses, usually family houses or households where no military action takes place, according to several sources who did this, who spoke to me about this. And these houses are bombed using unguided missiles.
You can't say Israel has a right to defend itself. You can't say that they are there's all this collateral damage because of human shields when they're deliberately targeting people when they're home and naming this targeting software Where's Daddy?
Yeah, like the human shields narrative, or that human shields talking point, I guess we should really call it, has become like so popular with Zionists, right? I mean, I was hearing this as like a 5-year-old child at my like Zionist school. It's like crazy how early they tell you about this.
What did they tell you?
You learn at a very young age in the Orthodox Jewish school system. I mean, I can speak from personal experience, but I also know that my school wasn't unique. But you learn from a very young age that Palestinians, they're animals. The reason that Israel is bombing is because Hamas uses human shields. Human shields, human shields, human shields. Whenever innocent civilians die, it's because Hamas used them as human shields. It's not our fault. It's because Hamas used them as human shields. Like, it's crazy that children had that hammered into them. And so it's like, it's true indoctrination to the point where you are okay with innocent civilians dying because you literally don't think of them as human. It's disgusting. Anyway, so yeah, the human shields narrative, it should have already been debunked in your mind. But in case there was any remaining doubt, this Lavender piece should refute it completely, right? Because we know, if we're to believe these sources in this article, that Israel has been intentionally waiting to target these suspected Hamas members when Israel knows they'll be surrounded by civilians. They can't say, oh, we kill so many civilians because Hamas uses human shields, if they're also deliberately hunting families and waiting for them to be home.
Yeah. And it's also like there's no where to hide in the Gaza Strip. It's just such a dense population. Any military target is supposedly among human shields.
Right. And not to mention the whole, you know, dynamic of modern warfare where you're in the air and your targets are on the ground. And it's obviously, I mean, it's an obvious point to make, but it's asymmetrical warfare, right? The IDF has a bird's eye view. And also the concept of a human shield doesn't make sense for Israel to hide behind regardless, because it's only a shield if it stops you from attacking them. A shield is only a shield if Israel cared about avoiding killing civilians.
And there was an article that came out from 972 magazine in November, and they were talking about another system of generative AI coming up with location targets. And a lot of these targets were called power targets. So they needed a target system that wasn't going to rely on humans. They're like, well, people are going to be too emotional. You can't have people selecting targets who are just going to, you know, press the button like crazy. But really, that's what ended up happening anyways. So they needed all these targets to be created to make this warfare seem more modern, more methodical, and more purposeful, less emotional. The first technology that was brought to light in November was called the gospel. And the gospel is the Greek word for the good news. Again, another like sanitized version of naming an AI that's clearly used to kill, but it's like the angels are spreading the good news. Part of the gospel's system was to identify power targets. And power targets were like, well, there's like a floor where Hamas once had a pizza party, and now we can level this entire building. And the purpose of power targets, in the IDF's words, was to shock civilians. You know, they're going to turn against Hamas. And it's not really clear that aerial bombing has ever led to this outcome where you have like just submission by an opponent. In World War II, like, did Germany surrender because of Dresden, or did Germany surrender when Hitler committed suicide? You know, like, the leadership, they're in bunkers, they're underground. The way you get them to surrender is by getting to them. And so when you're talking about these tunnels, but you're leveling apartment buildings, it really doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
A source from the IDF said, nothing happens by accident. When a three-year-old girl is killed in a home in Gaza, it's because someone in the army decided it wasn't a big deal for her to be killed, that it was a price worth paying in order to hit another target. Everything is intentional. We know exactly how much the collateral damage there is in every home.
Right. They just don't care.
So of the 2,687 targets that were bombed in the first week of the war, half of them were quote-unquote power targets. Before October 7th, they were supposedly giving, you know, warnings to people, and they would really pride themselves on these pamphlets that they were dropping and the quote-unquote knocking of the ceiling of a building to, like, let everybody know, like, hey, you're about to lose your home. You better grab your bags and walk out. One of the reasons why they would use these power targets, according to the IDF, was to also raise the morale of Israelis. So in 2021, they had IDF soldiers go on different social media channels, create accounts, post the damage in Gaza, and show to the Israeli people, like, look how the IDF is doing their job. They're really, like, destroying Gazan homes. They're really, like, exacting revenge for, you know, the five people killed in Israel in 2021. So part of the calculus is also not only manipulating the Gazan population or trying to starve them out, trying to starve Hamas out, but it's also, look how many bombs we're dropping. Like, aren't you proud of your country?
Again, Israeli society, like, fully supports this in aggregate. Bombing densely populated civilian areas, no regard for homes, schools, hospitals. Last I checked, 24 of Gaza's 36 hospitals were, you know, turned into rubble. It's easy to get caught up, I think, in the minutiae, because most media is Zionist light or fully Zionist. And so, like, for example, like, we were all kind of drawn into that. I mean, not us, but you know what I mean? Like, everyone was drawn into this debate about, like, did Israel bomb the Baptist hospital, right? Like, that became a central debate during this ongoing ethnic cleansing, right? Like, focus on one bomb, as if that one bomb didn't happen, and if Israel didn't touch that particular hospital, somehow things would be more okay. Like, we have to, you know, always remember to think about the ongoing overarching atrocity, right? You know, there are tons of children in Israel who are just simply so brainwashed. Like, they just have been told lies. And so, of course, those kids are going to celebrate the murder of these people because they don't know any better. But then once they get old enough to think for themselves, I don't think you can excuse it.
Or, yeah, or nothing will radicalize an Israeli more to the left than having a family held hostage in Gaza, because right, they're like, oh no, the aerial bombardment is gonna kill them. And you have these hostages coming back and saying, we were bombing us.
We were worried
we're gonna die by Israel's hand, not by Hamas's hand.
I mean, that the other thing is the hostages talking point too, like, has to be almost completely debunked at this point, because it's ridiculous to say, oh well, all Israel wants is the hostages back. Like,
yeah, no, they don't. They don't. They love this excuse to kill, and they clearly do not care. That's why you have the hostage families protesting every day. They're the most radicalized segment of the Israeli population. I'm going to say, like, the Israeli regime probably sees these hostage families as, like, corrosive.
Thorns in their side. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, annoying. Yeah, and the other thing to mention here that we learned in the 972 piece, another reason that Israel, you know, was just killing entire families is because some bombs are more expensive than others. And so when they would feed the lavender list into Where's Daddy and wait for the moment that Daddy would enter the house, What they were doing was bombing the houses with these unguided missiles, right? Or so-called dumb bombs, right? These bombs kill many more people because they're not super targeted.
The more expensive a bomb is, the more precise it is.
Right. Makes sense. The justification could be this target is so important. This Hamas militant is so dangerous. We have to get him no matter the cost, right? And that's why we're willing to kill, you know, 20 civilians and his entire family, because he's so important. But if he's so important, he's not important enough to spend a smart bomb on. So it just, the logic is obviously illogical.
You know, CNN reported in December that 45% of the munitions, according to U.S. intelligence assessments, that Israel dropped on Gaza were unguided, so-called dumb bombs that have, you know, a larger damage to civilians. They destroy the entire structure. Sources said that for these low-ranking operatives in Hamas, they were only using the dumb munitions, meaning they were collapsing the houses on everybody inside. And when you ask intelligence officers why, one explanation they give is that these people were, quote, unimportant. They were not important enough from a military perspective that the Israeli army would, one source said, waste expensive munitions.
And, you know, I guess we could give the IDF response, like after the 972 piece came out, the IDF did have an official response and they said, quote, contrary to claims, the IDF, that's funny, just really trying to diminish it as much as possible. Not even an article, journalist, a reporter, you know, contrary to, you know, claims by 972. No, contrary to claims. Could have been anyone. Some guy under a bridge made a claim, and we're going to refute it now in a statement. Contrary to claims, the IDF does not use an artificial intelligence system that identifies terrorist operatives or tries to predict whether a person is a terrorist. Information systems are merely tools for analysts. And what's nice about that is that the IDF has never before told a lie, nor do they have any incentive here to do so.
Not at all.
You know, if you read between the lines, they're saying, yeah, we do use these tools, but they're just tools for the human analysts, right? It's not all relying on the AI systems. But if the 927 or 972 mag piece is to be believed, the army would give sweeping approval for officers to just adopt the kill lists that Lavender made with no requirement to thoroughly check why the machine made those choices or to examine the actual raw data, the intelligence data on which those choices were based, right?
I mean, I think Where's Daddy and Lavender made such a big splash because of the titles of the way these softwares were named.
Yeah, the gospel isn't doing it for me.
Yeah, the gospel, not as terrifying.
Lavender,
where is Daddy Efoaba?
Oh, was it? It must have been Efoaba.
Maybe.
Oh my God, that's so fucking sick and twisted and dystopian and disgusting.
Yeah.
Efoima, im Abba, babayit, yesh lahem shlosha banim v'shte banot, kulam metim. Okay, that's not funny for anyone. Anyway.
But is this the first time that generative AI has been used in warfare? And the answer to that question is no. It's been used for counterterrorism by the U.S. in the Middle East and in Ukraine. And under the Obama administration, what was called the disposition matrix was also a automatic kill list. So imagine, again, ad targeting, whatever information that you're putting in your phone, your location, where you're meeting other targets who might be also on the kill list. That information was used to create kill lists for drone bombing under Obama. And it was highly controversial and it was kind of canned at some point. And then Biden brought it back. It worked the same way Lavender does, where it was like you were kind of nominated for death.
Wow, who am I up against?
It's the same technology, except the name is changing. So we have to keep that in mind. AI is just another name being slapped on to similar technologies. You have to be skeptical whenever somebody says AI.
And this whole outsourcing decision-making to AI thing is something we talk a lot about, right? Like we've talked multiple times about Henry Kissinger's collab with the former CEO of Google, Eric Schmidt, right? Where they wrote that whole book on outsourcing decision-making to AI, the age of AI. And the whole argument is like, well, AI is going to be so much smarter than us measly little people, that we just need to trust that it knows what it knows. And it's going to know more about reality, quote unquote reality. And so we have to kind of outsource our ability to perceive reality to AI. And we have to become dependent on AI to make decisions for us. Our brains shouldn't perceive reality. Our brains shouldn't drive decision making. AI should perceive reality, and AI should drive decision making. And if you want to think about the kind of guy that Kissinger is or was, RIP, or Schmidt is, like, who are these people, right? Like, what kind of decision making would they like this AI revolution to enable, right? It's just kind of shirking responsibility. Is that the right word? Shirking? Shirting?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
Shirking.
You're shirking. Yeah. Offloading. Let's move. Offloading responsibility. The other angle here that, like, I don't want to spend too much time on, and I'll explain why in a second. The other angle is that, like, you know, all of these technologies that they're testing in Gaza now are going to come to the U.S. and in many ways are already here, right? Like, they've been testing these quote unquote AI weapons a lot in Ukraine. Now they're testing them in the Middle East. The reason I don't want to spend too much time on it is because I think for a lot of people, like, the lives of Palestinians on their own are, like, worthless. And so they can only, like, wrap their heads around this danger when it's like, and then they're going to bring it home. And it's like, well, number one, it is home because, you know, you have the Teal Network trying to introduce a lot of predictive policing, AI powered technologies into the domestic police forces, right? And that's all about the same kind of idea. Maybe it's not automated kill lists, but it's automated targeting lists, right? The national security complex in Silicon Valley, like, not only, you know, run this country, but they're testing their AI weapons a lot in Ukraine and now in Gaza.
I'm sure we'll do another episode where we can talk about the different technologies that are being used in Gaza as a kind of laboratory and then successfully marketed to other countries for kind of fascist weapons, like how to control your dissident populations.
Yeah, like the whole the war on terror comes home thing. Like, that's a very valid story, but it's also like a little racist because it's like also the war on terror is bad even if it doesn't come home.
Yeah,
like, you know,
exactly.
It's when it's on brown people, it's also bad. But yeah, it does eventually come home.
And also the disposition matrix, or the so-called Obama kill list, was used to kill Americans overseas. So even if you're not home, yeah, it'll find you. If you're doing full stack development for Al-Qaeda
from home
in Bali, it'll find you.
Wow. Borderless.
But this kind of algorithm or generating targets was used in drone bombing in Somalia and Afghanistan and Pakistan, all the places we've been drone bombing, Libya. There's a long history of, like, trying to automate war as soon as possible so you don't have the fallible human operating the trigger. The other important thing is, like, well, what are the companies that have been involved in these systems and are still involved in these systems? Who built this? Who provided this? That's one of the ways where we can move forward and say, okay, who's responsible for this and who can we point fingers at besides the US government or the Israeli government? Because a lot of these private companies are selling their information or selling their machine learning algorithms and softwares to these governments to do horrific things. We're all sick to our stomachs. We're all horrified at this technology and these kitschy names that they have. So you have tech activists who are asking, what systems, what big tech cloud is Lavender and Where's Daddy running on? What APIs might they be using? Which libraries are they using? Google, we know you have a contract with Israel. Can you say something about what that contract is doing? Since 2021, Google has had a contract with the Israeli military called Project Nimbus, and there's been a lot of protesting against this, but now the voices are getting louder. And one of the ways forward is to be aware of like what commercial tech companies are involved in this assassination factory, as 972 magazine called it, to point fingers at them, to hold these companies to account, because we're not going to have like another, you know, IG Farben, Bayer. You know, Bayer was part of IG Farben, which made Zyklon B during World War II.
Yeah, there's a really bad book about that called Wall Street and the Nazis, if people want to read it. You have to go into it understanding that it's written really poorly and the guy who wrote it is crazy. But buried within the book is some really good data and information about IG Farben and the rise of Nazi Germany. Anyway, please continue.
Yeah, and they were all dismissed during the Nuremberg trials, and they didn't face any consequences,
no.
Which is crazy.
No.
And so now one of the reasons this story is, it's so disgusting and it's so repulsive and sickening, and it makes you think about how all these newfangled technologies are not just fun new gadgets for us to play with. They're really being used to assassinate children. One of the ways forward is to be like a tech activist, to call out the corporations and the technology behind these killing machines, especially with it, people within the tech world who are able to do that.
Because this story is like the pinnacle of examples about why we care so much about big tech and why we never shut up about it. These tech companies have, number one, have more power than governments these days, right? When we're talking about the Googles of the world, the Palantirs of the world, which, by the way, Palantir is almost certainly the technology backbone of Lavender, even though we can't say that for certain, but based on the contracts that Palantir has with Israel, what Palantir says in its 10K it's helping Israel with, and what Lavender does in comparison to what Palantir's targeting stuff does. When we talk about these tech companies, we have to see them as synonymous with the national security state, right? Technology is not just fun and games under our current world order. And so, you know, when we talk about facial recognition, you gotta talk about how it's being used by the police and how it's being used by the Department of Homeland Security to target people coming across the border. And when you talk about automated systems, you gotta talk about automated kill lists, you know? The United States, you know, it's not just complicit. Like, it's like saying your hand is complicit in jerking you off. Like, your hand is doing it. Like, the United States is the reason Israel is able to do this kind of thing with impunity, regardless of who built the technology. I'm sure elements of it were built in-house by the Israeli military, but the United States is the checkbook. So the U.S. national security state, the Israeli national security state, Silicon Valley, these are not, you know, different movements.
No, they're not.
And like when it comes to something like Lavender, it's really just the most recent step in this larger phenomenon that we see happening across the board in warfare, where human beings, human decisions are just more and more removed from the act of killing. The military has been increasingly relying on drones, right? It's kind of like a video game. And, you know, you don't really feel like you're killing someone, right? And it's like all about efficiency. And, you know, obviously the drone pilot is very safe. They're not on the ground, you know, doing any sort of real combat, right? But the drone strikes, like, what does it do? It removes the human perpetrators of war from the human cost, right? And so on this trajectory, we have things like drone warfare. And then the most recent example of that would be quote unquote AI. And so the final point that I want to make here is that I don't think it's an accident that we used to have a more robust anti-war movement in this country, in the US, I mean.
Like, one of the factors why we don't have one is because killing has been so sanitized.
The peak of the anti-war movement was Vietnam, right? When there was a fucking draft and everyone,
like, you needed bodies on the ground to give a shit. Well, if you were rich, you could like hire somebody to say they were you. And
true. There's always exceptions, but you know what I mean, where the humans were more involved and this affected your life. So we no longer have a draft, right? I mean, we have like an economic coercion vibe with like a de facto draft kind of on the poor.
An economic coercion vibe?
Did you
The draft is more of a vibe. I love that.
You know what I mean.
This Gen Z expert coming in hot.
You guys get what I mean. You know what I mean? Automated weapons come at a fucking cost. As humans become more and more removed from the act of killing, we're going to see less resistance to it. Anyway. Yeah.
Wait, can you say that again?
No.
I tried to do closing thoughts, but then you went into Vietnam and...
No, but that was a closing thought.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And who's really doing it? Like, does it matter? Is it really us who's identifying the targets and pushing the button?
Right. And this is like, you know, this was Henry Kissinger's wet dream again, RIP before he died.
Yeah. It's about not having any due process.
Right. And then hang our hat on the idea that AI is so powerful and so much smarter than us, you know? So it's just going to perceive reality better than us. And we don't have to worry about that. But of course, like with entities like the IDF and the U.S. National Security State in Silicon Valley at the helm, what kind of quote unquote objective reality are they going to have their quote unquote AI perceive? Anyway, I'm repeating myself now. Well, anyway, RIP Henry Kissinger. He would have loved lavender. Israel has no choice but to invade Gaza. He said that literally right before he died. I think those were literally his last words. Beautiful last words.
And he didn't get to see the most of it.
It's so sad for him.
I think he was just waiting for it to happen.
He was like, I can die happy.
Yeah, I can finally go. The apocalypse is being ushered in. Time to peace
AI
out.
AI warfare. I'm joking. Obviously, that probably was not his actual last words. But what's funny is that he said that in an interview with Insider News. They say, like, you know, recorded shortly before his death. And then they published it the day after he died. So he actually said this after he died.
Oh, damn.
His real legacy.
From the grave.
I think Israel has no choice except to invade Gaza.
But yeah, should we talk about one of my favorite tech stories?
So remember Just Walk Out.
Just walked away. So I love a failed company.
I wouldn't call Amazon a failed company.
Yeah. No. A failed technology. That's what I love.
So Just Walk Out was this technology that Amazon launched in 2018 in Seattle in an Amazon Fresh store. Basically, the idea is you go into this store. You don't have to check out because between Amazon's sensors, cameras, and human surveillance, Amazon will know what you leave the store with. And so you don't have to wait in line. We'll just charge your card accordingly, right? And, you know, this is something we're also going to talk about. This kind of touches on the idea of the cashless society, which we're going to get into next week. Let's take a look at this promotional video for Amazon Go.
I was actually just pulling it up too. That's oh, hell so yeah. Funny.
You want to share it?
Oh, no. I haven't gotten to it yet. So if you have it pulled up.
Which one do you have? I have a one from 2016.
Okay.
Is this it?
The same one. Yeah, I think so.
All right. So this is introducing Amazon Go and the world's most advanced shopping technology in 2016.
4 years ago, we started to wonder, what would shopping look like if you could walk into a store, grab what you want, and just go? What if we could weave the most advanced machine learning, computer vision, and AI into the very fabric of a store so you never have to wait in line? No lines, no checkouts, no registers. Welcome. Use the Amazon Go app to enter. Then put away your phone and start shopping.
This is like for everyone who's never shoplifted before. They're like, have you ever wondered what it's like to pick up something from a supermarket and go?
I just walk out every day. Thank you. I mean, but that's what it is, right? It's a way to prevent shoplifting because shoplifting is not going to checkout. But if we're charging you based on what you pick up, we're ostensibly preventing shoplifting from all of our stores. That's really the purpose that it serves for Amazon, right? What is it really? It's more surveillance, right? Instead of trusting you to go to the checkout and give money, we are just going to debit your account or credit.
Yeah. debit your account. They're definitely not giving, they definitely should have given you money to shop at Amazon Go for all the footage that they were taking of your body as you were food shopping.
Right.
It should definitely be like it.
Training their models. Yeah.
Training their shitty model. I actually went into there was an Amazon Fresh around the corner from where I lived in DC when I was living there a couple years ago. And I went into the store and it was like the most creepy feeling, because first of all it was during the pandemic, so there was like basically no one in there. And then everything was like arranged perfectly, like nothing was knocked over, nothing was out of place, everything. There was just like an overabundance also of like grocery goods because nobody was shopping there. And then in the back there were like some employees standing there. It was so unclear what they were there for because there's no employees up front near the exit. I guess that's by design because they want you to feel like you don't have to interact with anybody. It's like an introvert's paradise. And then I'm like, I didn't really know what they were there for. And I learned like later when I read about the technology that was, behind Just Walk Out, behind the Amazon Fresh stores, new AI capability. But those employees were making sure everything was placed perfectly on the shelf. That was their job because the computer vision isn't that smart. It needs to know where you're taking the product from.
It needs every product at the exact right angle.
Yeah.
So their job went from cashier to art director.
Yeah, exactly. Or I mean, even worse, it's an even more like mind-numbing job than being a cashier. Like being a cashier sucks. I'm not gonna say that it's a fun job. I had it when I was in high school. It's not fun to learn the codes of vegetables and everything.
Do you still remember any? Did they stick with you?
No, but when I go to self-checkout, I like have a traumatic experience because I'm like, oh, I have to like look up the code for a lemon now.
Wait, but self-checkout, you just hit the button that says lemon. You don't need a code.
I know, but the code shows up. It triggers me.
Understood. Understood. And
I have flashbacks to working at Whole Foods.
Oh, damn.
Which I didn't really mind, but like I was in high school, whatever. What was I saying? So yeah, going to the store, that those employees are like completing a totally mind-numbing task of just like shifting a little box so it's like directly in line with, I mean, I can't imagine how the time passes when you're doing a job like that. And you're just like not really supposed to interact with people unless they ask you something.
Crazy. I did see some version of this at an airport once. I want to say it was LaGuardia, but I'm not positive. But it wasn't an Amazon Fresh store, but it was the same idea, same technology, where it's like you don't have to check out. You just walk in and it charges you. And, you know, it was like a little airport newsstand type store, like tiny store, like, I don't know, like what, 200 square feet or something like that. And even in that tiny little thing, there were 100 cameras on the ceiling. It just looked so stupid and silly. It's just so dumb. I mean, like,
but
maybe
it's also, yeah, they were also in order to achieve this like amazing pick it up and go thing, they had to violate privacy laws,
right?
Know? And apparently they were like taking Amazon was taking like biometric skeleton scans of people, and so now there's a lawsuit. The city of New York has sued Amazon for taking that biometric information and then selling it to Starbucks.
Right. All right, let's finish the promotional video.
Take whatever you like. Anything you pick up is automatically added to your virtual cart. If you change your mind about that cupcake, just put it back. Our technology will update your virtual cart automatically.
She went back for the cupcake. That's so relatable. She put it back and then at the last minute decided she still wanted it. Also, I don't like the name of this item. They're showing like the virtual receipt being updated automatically.
It's a cheesecake cupcake.
I don't like that. I don't like that. Pick a fucking lane, frankly.
Yeah, pick a lane. I think they were just like, you know, the algorithm said that the average consumer would like a cheesecake or a cupcake.
It was like an even split in the focus group they did. They were like, fuck, there's no clear winner.
Oh, what's interesting also, there's another story coming out about Amazon and how they like are trying to go head to head with Trader Joe's. Like, they're really trying to dump. This wasn't just like a, you know, a fun kind of shopping gimmick. They were trying to like beat every supermarket out there by making this the shopping experience.
Monopoly's gonna monopoly.
They hired a former Trader Joe's employee and demanded that she like give over all of her information.
Whoa.
From Trader Joe's, which I'm sure is like breaking some kind of laws. And they basically like have a war room at Amazon headquarters that it's like the 200 most popular Trader Joe's items. And like Trader Joe's is famously opaque on how they like source their stuff.
Mm.
And so they're just trying to replicate like the 200 most popular products at Trader Joe's.
That really surprises me that Amazon doesn't just know, because Trader Joe's doesn't make anything themselves. They just white label shit. So you'd think Amazon has the connections to just find out who those suppliers are. Because I know YouTubers who talk about who those suppliers are. So Amazon should definitely have the wherewithal to find that information.
Yeah, but you're also like negotiating contracts with those companies. And so there's a lot of like,
the war room is more about like making the deals with those.
Yeah.
I mean, really, Israel is like the Trader Joe's. They are using like Google technology and Palantir technology, but then they give it their own name. And it's just like the Israeli military.
Israel is operating like Amazon, like super aggressive.
True. But the white labeling is very Trader Joe's, where it's like Lavender, but it's like Palantir, you know? Yeah, our Godwin's law is Palantir.
Yeah, I think that's your law. But
I know. It's the all-seeing eye. I'm not obsessed. It's the fucking U.S. government that's obsessed. And I just live
in it. We should all be obsessed. We should all be obsessed.
I mean, the thing is, Palantir is obsessed with us.
I know. Like, stop looking at us.
Like, oh my God.
Stop. Get your...
Stop. Oh my God. All-seeing eye. Stop it. Damn.
Yeah.
Okay, let's finish this promotional video. We're almost done.
Once you've got everything you want, you can just go. When you leave, our Just Walk Out technology adds up your virtual cart and charges your Amazon account. Your receipt is sent straight to the app, and you can keep going. Amazon Go. No lines, no checkout. No, seriously.
No lines, no checkout, just grab and go, right? It's a new way to shop. It's beautiful. So that's a promotional video in 2016 introducing Amazon Go. This new story that we're about to deliver right now is about Amazon Fresh, which is a different thing, different like brick and mortar thing that they introduced, which is specifically for food, right? But it's the same idea. The Just Walk Out technology was first introduced at Amazon Go before they brought it into Amazon Fresh. And even the Amazon website to this day advertises the technology by saying, increase sales per square foot with scalable, flexible technology. 2, improve labor efficiency. We know what that means.
Getting rid of labor.
It's very efficient to have no labor costs. 3, gain consumer loyalty by offering a fast, convenient way to shop. 4, operate with confidence by relying on the security and technical support of Amazon. They also advertise the fact that right now they have customers, including TD Garden, Lumen Field, which I think is like an NFL stadium, and Hudson Nonstop.
You could get Lucy's at an Amazon Just Walk Out.
No.
You could just walk out with a Lucy's.
Just walk out. Just spark up. Okay, so anyway, so that's Just Walk Out.
Who is really dreaming this up? Like, is it the consumer who's like, I just always wanted to feel like I was stealing when I...
I just have always wanted to be watched from 100 different angles at once. It's actually my fetish.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it means. And this is like clearly the company saying, no, this is what you want. You don't want any people in the store, right?
Right.
And we're like, no, we weren't really worried about that.
It's like, no, this is for you. You want me to save on labor costs, right?
I just want to be able to like bring the shopping cart all the way to the car and not have the governor stop it right at the exit. These are the grievances that people have, you know. Right. But it's like how their dream is like, let's erase all the employees. You know?
I mean, I kind of get the appeal of not having to wait in line, but there are other ways to do that.
Have
more cashiers.
More workers. Right. Yeah. Right. More, actually, yeah, it's like much more, it's much better like as a customer going to the end of the store and seeing like a million employees. If yeah. If you're not trying to rob the store, of course, you
more
know, 100 open checkouts.
Anyway, so that's just walk out. This week we learned, or last week, or 2 weeks ago, I don't know when this is coming out, but we just learned that Amazon is removing the Just Walk Out technology from all of its fresh grocery stores. And Just Walk Out was only adopted at around half of the fresh stores in the U.S. anyway, but now it's going to be at zero fresh stores in the U.S. Just Walk Out is still going to be in Amazon Go stores, and it's still going to be in the Amazon fresh stores that are in the U.K. and some third-party retailers. But the news is that they are scrapping it from the U.S. fresh stores. The other thing we learned, I'll wait for that to end, I think.
What does it sound like? I was just moving my chair closer to
Don't
the table.
Don't do that.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. It doesn't matter. It doesn't show up in the final recording. Ew, stop. Okay. All right. I mean, this is just
I'm
comical.
Sorry. I'm just moving my feet. I'm sorry. I was just going to weld something really quick.
The other thing we learned is that... Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, my God.
Sorry. You go ahead.
So they're pulling it from the fresh stores in the U.S. The other thing we learned is that Just Walk Out was augmented by human workers in India. This was first reported by an outlet called The Information, which is a tech publication. They reported that Just Walk Out was employing people in India who basically just worked behind the scenes to monitor the customers' shopping activity. Imagine if when they were announcing Just Walk Out, they were just completely honest. And they were like, today we're announcing that we're outsourcing our cashier labor to India. Because that's in effect what they did. Like basically the cashiers turned into remote workers. So no one's in the store, but now you have people employed from a country where Amazon can pay them way less. And if they were upfront about how those stores were going to operate, no one would care. You know, you wouldn't get all the news stories about Just Walk Out, and the stock price wouldn't care either, right? And so this is what happens under capitalism, right? You don't get honesty in marketing. There are all of these market incentives to lie about the power of your technology. So we're not just going to get the best technology under the system.
Yeah, there's some tolerance in the like technosphere of fake it till you make it. Like it's the MO. We're going to see a lot of these kind of Potemkin AI companies, so they're called. They're operating just fine. Like you did get charged from an Amazon Fresh store, but it's actually human labor behind it. It's artificial intelligence.
Nice.
I mean, I took that from Mechanical Turk's description, which we'll get into. But there's a lot of, I mean, this is not a totally isolated story. There's been some startups who were shut down after it was discovered that they were using human labor, especially when they were like, your personal assistant is totally AI. And actually, no, a human was listening in on very private things. Like, all the times I was yelling at my Google Home was probably heard by somebody else. There was another startup called Builder AI, which could build software. And it definitely was dependent on people in India to make that software.
And there's another one, like kind of a similar story. I was just watching a TikTok on, I'm going to be honest. There was this Devin AI software engineer named Devin who was going to replace all these programmers run by this company called Cognition Labs. And it just came out that they faked their demo, and someone did a really good piece like debunking it. Basically goes into like all the inaccuracies and like how the demo was just fake, right? And again, it's like a fake it till you make it vibe, because like what was that company's plan? Either to just hype up their fake product to draw investor money in and then cash out, or the hope is like, oh, like once we get this money, then we'll figure it out. Basically, it was going to replace like Upwork labor. And the claim was that like it could like fix all these bugs, but it was like fixing fake files that like didn't even exist in GitHub. and the errors that it was fixing were nonsensical, and the actual code that it was shown to be writing in the demo was bad. It didn't even use standard libraries.
Devin was introed not quite a month ago now, touted as the world's first AI software engineer, and I don't believe that it's the first software engineer, but today is about the specific claim that's the first line of the video description, which says, "Watch Devin make money taking on messy Upwork tasks." That statement is a lie. What's worse, though, is that the hype and the fear, uncertainty, and doubt from people repeating and embellishing on that claim because they're trying to get clicks or they're trying to go viral or they just want to be part of the zeitgeist. The hype around Devin in general is just crazy, and that statement seems to be what a lot of it is pinned on. Companies should just not be allowed to lie without getting called out on it, and people shouldn't repeat things they heard on the internet without checking for themselves.
And having like pre-recorded video be a key part of your demo is not crazy. Like, I've been in many a tech demo where I'll like ask the presenter, sales guy, can I see like what happens when you do XYZ? Like, what if you wanted to sort it this way? Or let's try to upload this Excel and see how the software takes it in. And they'll be like, hey, we're not actually in the software right now. But in those cases, if the company is kosher, that demo environment is a reflection of what your actual tech can do, right? Whereas in the case of Devin, it was a reflection of what they wanted to say it could do. So fakeness in like a SaaS demo is not so crazy. But with Devin, the company literally was lying and saying that Devin was successfully completing these Upwork jobs and getting paid for that work, all while they're, you know, hyping their product up as the quote unquote first AI software engineer.
And this happens in other industries. A lot of electric car companies were totally fake. Like, I covered one that was called Nikola, and they like rolled their truck down a hill.
Oh,
and
yes,
filmed it.
I remember that. Oh my God, that was so good.
This is basically the AI equivalent of, you know, pushing a car down a hill and filming it and being like, wow, isn't this amazing? The computer's doing all of
wow,
this.
Wow, yeah.
Meanwhile, it's gravity.
Right.
They should have called their car Newton. I think the joke was
right.
That I made at the time.
I just love the idea of like it's a self-driving car, but it's someone in India remote driving it with cameras.
Oh yeah, no, there was another company that had that. Cruise was a robo-taxi, and every 4 minutes, supposedly somebody would take control of the ride. Imagine driving from home. Can you quiet down in there? I'm driving from home. But this is Amazon's MO. In 2019, there was like a scandal that people were listening in on Alexa interaction. So like,
yeah,
you know, people yelling at their Alexa. That must have been a traumatic job too. Like listening to all the horrible things people are saying. Because people are always yelling at their virtual assistants, you know.
People, meaning you.
Me, yeah, me, but everybody else. They even have a service, which is basically like a crowdsourcing platform for companies that need to outsource certain small tasks that a computer supposedly does, called MTurk, which stands for Mechanical Turk, which is like an 18th century carnival game where you would supposedly play chess against the robot, but it was really a chess master hiding under the table, and it was like Napoleon was beaten by it and Benjamin Franklin. They're like, wow, technology, huh? So Amazon is very aware of, like, they're open about using human labor and using that to train AI. Or in this like weird period where we're pretending everything is outsourced when it's in fact not.
So, okay. So Just Walk Out was augmented by workers in India. This is not like, you know, I saw a lot of reporting about this, like, oh my God, Amazon AI was actually just Indians. Like, a lot of this was exaggerated for clicks, and then it kind of, social media took hold of it. And like, obviously it's very funny to make fun of Amazon, but there's always human labor to train the data. And Amazon isn't like scrapping Just Walk Out entirely. They're just now replacing Just Walk Out in their US Fresh stores with something else, which we're going to get to in a second. I'm teasing it. Do you guys feel teased? Ooh, what's it going to be?
I feel teased.
But it's just called training, right? The AI learns from humans, right? And so a subset of what happens in the store is going to go to humans to label, because you can't just completely rely on the technology when you first roll something out. Just like Lavender did, you know, we should be glad that Amazon isn't, I mean, we shouldn't be glad, because I think it's ultimately good if people are allowed to steal from Amazon. But you get what I'm saying, right? It's not going to be fully accurate. Like with Lavender, there was that 10% error rate, right? With this, there would also be some sort of, you know, small error rate. So, of course, you want human labor to augment the quote unquote AI. The humans can label the scenarios that the AI can't, again, AI in air quotes, can't label itself. And then that is used to train again to make the models better and better, right? And Amazon isn't actually retiring this concept. Amazon is probably just going to sell this to other stores now, right? But what they're doing in the fresh stores is they're moving to something called dash carts. So,
which is as stupid as it sounds.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is like this story, I saw it got celebrated a lot in like our circles or whatever, because it's like, oh, haha, like Amazon just walk out technology, big bust. And they admitted it doesn't work. And that's not really what happened. This is not like a real win for us anti-surveillance girlies. They're just replacing just walk out with the dash carts. So what are dash carts? They are smart shopping carts that allow shoppers to, again, avoid checkout, right? But instead of avoiding it because cameras and sensors are watching you from the ceiling, now those cameras and sensors are in the cart.
It's a rolling self-checkout.
And it's going to roll out at the locations where they're yanking the just walk out. So smart carts rolled out in 2020. Mm-hmm. What's changing now is they're going to now roll out at the locations where they're getting rid of just walk out.
I want to make a small footnote on this.
Make a big footnote. Make a splash.
I'm putting my foot down, and I'm saying that this was old. They already had this in the stores for 2 years. And the reason they're making a big deal about the dash carts now is like they don't want to say that they're retiring a technology.
And if I could just make a quick footnote on your footnote, a toe, if you will, it's not really a failure or a rollback. This is part of business, right? You have to continuously test new technologies before you can sell them to other companies. They tested just walk out, and now they're trying to sell it to other companies, right? Hating Amazon for being a major military and intelligence contractor and for treating its workers poorly aside, they tested it out and through that trial period learned that it worked in certain use cases and it didn't in others. Where did it work well? In things like stadiums, right? In things like Hunted Nonstop, which is like the airport shops, right? Where you have a captive audience, you're charging like $7 for like a 50-cent water bottle. You're making such a great markup that even if there are errors, like the just walk out technology is still enabling a great business model, right? Same with stadiums, where like people don't want to fucking take their eyes off the game for more than they have to. No one wants to stand in line. Get your, I don't know, Coke Zero or Diet Coke. You know, we want both sides of the political spectrum to feel seen here, and just walk out. And I think in stadiums and in airports, they're clearly not rolling it back, and it's doing exactly what it needs to do. For the grocery stores, obviously a smart cart makes sense more than a bajillion cameras on the ceiling, because of partially what you said, like, you know, having everything like at the right angle, like that is stupid. Like if you have the technology to just get something scanned as soon as it goes into a cart, why would you opt for the eerie store where every item needs to be continuously moved so that the camera can know when it's there?
Yeah.
I also will say that, like, I don't think this is a loss for Amazon. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is all part, when you're as big as Amazon, this is part of life.
We tried to replace the workers and we failed.
You try a bunch of different technologies and all of that data is useful to you. You know, spending time testing technology, that's not a loss. You know, that's your life. So, okay. So these smart shopping carts track what you're buying as you go. There's, again, no need for the checkout line. Again, you log in like with your phone, with your like Amazon account, like through with a QR code, and then it knows it's you. And then for produce, there's actually a scale on the cart. What else is on the cart? The cart also has a built-in screen. And then on that screen, you get that real-time receipt of all the items that you're putting in the cart. So again, it's basically self-checkout, but it's as you move through the store instead of at the end. Here's what Amazon spokesperson Nathan Strauss said. Dash carts use a, quote, combination of computer vision algorithms and sensor fusion to help identify items placed in the cart. Again, nothing new or exciting. Same basic technology we've literally been using in the checkout lane for decades. The ability to scan items and ring them up. It's just in the cart now.
Yeah. And also, the new thing is that you are doing the labor. they've like sold new technology to you so that you could do it.
Yeah. And the really the one difference is that this is probably going to turn into a vehicle for paid ads, because of course there's a giant screen on the cart. So yeah, so
more
even
ads.
Even when you're literally shopping, you need to be shown an ad for something else.
Well, I guess it's like a supermarket circular. If they're like showing me what's on sale, I guess I wouldn't mind.
Oh, grapes are on sale today, maybe I'll grab some. And I'm sure eventually it'll be personalized, and you know, because you're signing in again with your Amazon account, so it knows exactly who you are. And it's just basically great.
You should be adding more fiber to your diet.
Doing like a body scan. It's like, you actually seem a little dehydrated. Here's a coconut water on sale. Well, we take a blood sample at the cart in the beginning. And if you're dehydrated, you get the sale price for the coconut water.
And if you're low iron, you get like a discount on meat, red meat.
Mm.
So after years and years and years, they're like, okay, it's... the system is more of a burden. It's too slow and too expensive. Basically, they discovered that putting in hundreds of cameras, watching, you know, a box of cereal on the shelf, and then exporting that footage to India to have it marked and labeled, double check so nobody's walking away with more stuff than they paid for.
There are plenty of issues with the system. Sometimes you would get a receipt hours after you left the store. Sometimes the items on your receipt would just be completely inaccurate. And so, you know, it was a really imperfect technology, right? And it was, again, just too expensive to install and maintain. So it stopped making sense for Amazon. Here's a quote from Engadget. Quote, "It took a vast array of sensitive equipment and 1,000 people staring at video feeds to do the job of one or two people sitting behind cash registers at each store. Ain't modern innovation grand?" Amazon's position is that Just Walk Out wasn't relying on human reviewers. They were just supposed to annotate the video images, which is necessary for continuously improving the underlying machine learning model powering Just Walk Out
but
technology.
But the machine just never learned how to run a supermarket.
Yeah, the machine was not learning. It's the inverse of what happened with Lavender, right? Because the IDF is like, no, this isn't an automated system. Humans were definitely making those decisions about where to put those bombs. And Amazon is like, no, humans weren't seeing what people were buying. The Just Walk Out technology was.
But you mentioned you also wanted to talk about the palm scan.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to mention it. This is like the other, you know, checkout innovation, quote unquote, that Amazon has. And I think we'll talk about it a little bit more when we do like our biometrics episode. But basically, if you've ever been in a Whole Foods in the last year or so, you've seen this thing called Amazon One, right? Where you scan your palm. You know, this is not going anywhere. This is staying in Whole Foods. They plan to keep the palm recognition thing at all of their U.S. locations. And it's also something that Amazon is trying to sell elsewhere, right? So Panera Bread is also using this technology, Amazon One, where you pay with your palm.
Yeah, you think it's an introvert's paradise, walking in, not having any like interactions with humans, but instead you're like every angle of your presence in the store is captured on a live feed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really, it's a surveillance state's paradise.
But also, going back to self-checkout machines, like, there's a moment of reckoning now, and there's all these stories about Walmart chains dropping self-checkout because, like, people are like, okay, no cashier, no paying. I guess I'm just gonna take this stuff and go. And Target was like, you know what? We're gonna add a new feature to the self-checkout machine and just have a camera, and when you don't scan an item, the self-checkout machine like yells at you, just like alerts you. It's like, missed item, missed item. But it looks like the self-checkout era is like coming to a close, and now there's going to be more cashier jobs because it's also in the
I don't think so? I agree that the current iteration of self-checkout is dying, but I don't think it's going to go back to human labor. Maybe in the short term at Walmart.
Yeah, in the short term right now, they're probably, you know, playing with different technologies.
Right.
To, you know, perfectly track an item that's not paid for, and then, you know, it alerts the security guard at the entrance of the store. But it looks like some stores are bringing back cashiers.
We should make like a pilgrimage to one of the Whole Foods where Amazon has already rolled out the smart shopping carts and test it out.
Yeah. Well, I love food shopping, so.
Same. I do it like almost every day.
Yeah.
But not at Whole Foods. Boycott.
No?
Remember I made a whole stand. I made a whole speech about it. In our in and out list. So at this point, like, I can't, you know, I publicly said I'm gonna stop shopping there and stop using Amazon.
Well, good luck with that.
Thank you. Well, Trader Joe's is closer to me anyway.
Oh, lucky.
Actually, they're about equidistant if I really think about it. But Trader Joe's.
I would love to live near Trader Joe's again.
It's literally how I choose where my apartment is. when I was in Bushwick, I would literally take the L to the 14th Trader Joe's instead of going to the Williamsburg one because it was a easier train ride. Anyway, no one cares.
Let's wrap this up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up by watching the CVS CEO Karen Lynch talk to Jim Cramer about how self-checkout is over.
Because the stealing is rife with self-checkout.
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked that. We're actually piloting in a number of our stores, pulling that back up.
More.
Yes, we have.
Oh, good.
I really couldn't sleep at night knowing that people were stealing Band-Aids.
And tampons. And baby formula.
I gotta call the guy over.
I won't guarantee it's in your store, but we are piloting and it is something that we're looking at.
Well, I think you're revolutionary and you're doing a lot of things that people have always felt maybe should be done in the system. I want to thank Karen Lynch, President CEO of CVS Health. Wow.
Thanks, Jim.
I'm so glad you came on Mad Money.
Wow. And I'm so glad you guys came to Cargo Cult.
They're just going to make a machine that has like a crane arm that grabs you and shakes you when you don't scan an item.
But that's the thing, though. Checkout is obsolete when corporations just have your financial information, right? So with Amazon, because everyone has an Amazon account, checkout in itself, whether it's self-checkout or employees, becomes obsolete when the company can just debit your account. I think that's the future we're headed towards. And that's actually a really good tease to next week's episode where we're going to be talking about programmable money.
Yeah. We're going to give you advice on which Bitcoin to buy.
Yeah.
Or which coin to buy.
There we go. Yeah, there we go.
That's how much I'm invested in it. I'm like, I'll tell you which. Next week, we're going to get into which coins to buy.
Yeah, we're going to turn into Bitcoin bros. Crypto hoes. We're going to turn into cryptos.
Crypto hoes. Yeah. We're slowly becoming a crypto ho.
I guess.
Podcast.
All right. Love you guys so much.
Thank you for listening to this heavy episode.
Go to PalestinianYouthMovement.com. Go to JewishVoiceForPeace.org. Go to BDSMovement.net.
Praying for peace. Free Palestine.